Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Hentai Corner. We're going for the true ending. This is going to take a lot of skipping. You're going to skip through a lot of crazy shit. We're going to just show all. Just to skip. And the reason why is because I have to choose a bunch of different paths to get the true ending to the game. That wasn't apparently the true ending, but some people said they like it better. So I don't know. The true ending doesn't even have an ending movie. Yeah, I know. I looked at it. But there's some more fucked up scenes in it. And I guess that can be our little, our degenerate stuff that we were going to do. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, we're going to go through this and see a couple more scenes. And then there's a whole nother chapter. And then we'll be done. So we're almost there. We should probably be done within the week, and then, yes, we will reveal the next game. So, without further ado, it's skip time! Hentai scenes are still pretty long, but, you know, skipping by them, it won't be as long. It's long, folks. I mean, we're going through a... I love this scene. Okay. Well, I guess it wants to show you the intro movie again. I don't know if I played it the first time. And if I did, it probably was in an older video. I should probably put this song on my playlist. I do like it. It reminds me of Stabbing Westward. Which is still a band, by the way. This song was originally meant for a movie called In Time. But some weird stuff happened and it got used in Maggot Baits. The band's okay with it. Yeah, the intro movie is censored. It is a badass song. You can listen to it all on YouTube. Now, it's cool that the band were bros about it, though. Because, like, all these artists are getting pissed because their music is in even less fucking graphic games than this. You know, the being a dick situation. That's so stupid. And Leap of Faith. Man, that game is almost fucking wholesome. They need to stop that shit. Notice the tentacles have hands. Yeah, you guys are also seeing all the fucking scenes now. It's like, oh great, Grim, now I get to see all the scenes and don't have to go through all the bullshit. Yeah. I feel like I'm commentating at this point. Yep, I remember this scene. I actually showed this on YouTube. Oh yeah! YouTube didn't give me shit for the longest time. I was able to show it. Yeah, even this far. And they still had me show this shit. Okay. You have to escape, because if you take her down, I think that's what... Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, no. You're actually supposed to do it. Okay. What? But it's supposed to not give me that. Hold on, I think I fucked up. Hold on. Oh. Well, I guess I'm gonna show you guys some really fucked up shit and we'll see if it works. I didn't want you guys to see this, but you're gonna see it real fast. Just watching. This is the degeneracy you wanted. Thank God you don't actually have to fucking... Yeah! It gets crazy. Look at that shit. I know. Yeah. It gets so fucking crazy, the monkey house ending. This is actually the bad end, by the way, folks. If you like fucking goddamn Futanari, you'll love this shit. I don't fucking like it at all. It's like, what the hell? Obviously, she likes her food with balls. Like, I can laugh at this shit now. Oh, it's so crazy. I don't even know what she's in. But this is the bad ending. Everybody grows giant dicks. It's almost like a joke. Yo, let's make them all grow giant dicks. It's like, what? Graham, what the fuck? I thought it was a joke, to be honest. Like, I literally thought they did it just to fuck with people. It's like, have them all fuck each other. Again, if you're into food, like, you're really digging this. Is it gay if a woman with a giant dick fucks another woman with a... Like, I don't even know. I get, like, it's so fucking weird. What the hell? Now they're pregnant. Wow. I just can't believe it's been so long since I've actually played this route. And it's pretty much all H. I mean, that's literally... Oh, damn it. I can't even really... Just whatever. That was the... Alright. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. That was it. I mean, it's so bizarre. I mean, what the hell, really, Japan? Come on. And this thing is legally sold. Like, they didn't remove anything. You can buy it right from Manga Gamer. It's got all the crazy shit in it. It's so bizarre, though. Like, just... They were Futanari fans, and they just said, fuck it. It's like, why does everybody have a dick now? Why? Oh, man. If it's too much, you guys can just fast forward it. Jesus Christ, what the fu- What the hell? What? That doesn't even make sense! What in the hell? That was the bad end. So that ain't it. Yeah, I know, some of the scenes are pretty violent. But at least they'll go by fast, you know, I don't have to read a million fucking lines. That was all chapter one. I know. Supposed to be like a Loli character, but they made her much taller. Oh! To Tsunaga, that seemed... Do I pick abhorrent, or do I pick queer? It felt queer, like a strange mystery that needed solving. Certainly it was difficult to view a witch's biology mentality similarly as a human. Though they sometimes behave like humans, it could be possibly be nothing more than mimicry. However, it was also true that Carol's behavior felt somehow different from other witches, even with that in mind. The reason wasn't clear, but putting that question to rest for now would probably be fine. Tsunaga brought his mind back to their present problem. Okay... Remember her and all the maggots. I mean, all the H scenes, you know, they're pretty much self-explanatory. We've seen all of them. Yep. They go by fast. I like this one. I wish I could have seen this fight, though. This is something I'd actually want animated. That fight sounded like it would be badass as an animation. Same thing with the fight between him and that dude. Those fights should have been animated. Foot fetish shit. Chapter 3 already. Remember this crazy shit? Remember that. Again, like, they try to make her a lolly, but that's not a fuck. Like, maybe in terms of being petite, but she is not a little girl. I'm sorry. That's like that's a full grown woman's body and height. You know, you're all legs. Oh yeah, it's pretty disgusting. I don't think I showed you guys this in the original, but yeah, it's pretty fucked up, yeah. It's like right out of death metal. But we didn't have to see it for long, did we? I like that. This is like Judas Priest. He wanted to know about the witches. Sunaga asked him about the witches here in Pandemonium. He glanced out of the corner of his eye at Wilma, who had her eyes closed before the corpse of the witch called Katrina. These witches were destined to face brutal rape and torture until their bodies and minds broke. Why would something so unreasonable exist in this world? He couldn't help but wonder strongly about that. He thought that perhaps there might be something behind that unreasonable logic that linked up with the real reason he fought, or the real enemy he had to face. See, there isn't really a whole lot here. We're just taking a tour of Maggot Bates right now. Okay. Oh yeah, here comes Valentinos. I like Valentinos, I'm sorry. And it was because of Valentinos that Shimon was actually defeated, not to mention a lot of the witches. It's something that must be solved at some point. Still, the mystery surrounding witches, it is linked to my enemy, Shimon. We may need to solve it at some point. Sunaga's eyes turned towards Carol as if trying to peer beyond the mysteriously glowing pomegranate eyes reflecting him. Though it was true, they weren't going to find any answers here, so Sunaga changed topics. Okay, see, that wasn't a whole lot there. And that's it. That's actually the last choice I have to make. So now we're just literally going to sail until it gives us text. And this is what you do when you finish a visual novel. For those that really don't know much about these, that's literally the next step. After you've gotten a main ending, not a bad ending, but a main ending, you usually have to go back through for the true ending, and it requires just a lot of skipping. I've sat through 60-hour novels like this, folks. Where you're just waiting for the text. This is only like 10 to 30 hours, and it's gonna go way faster. There he is. Oh, yeah. That's the walls of Jericho feel like. I like this guy. If they ever wanted to do like a badass Bible anime, that's what they would have to do. Have this guy that's like, and the walls of Jericho fell. Like, that would be awesome. I would fucking watch that. Because I know they did like a Muslim anime, so I wonder if they'd do like a Bible anime. That would be... Brian watched from deep in the forest as 10 mercenaries accompanying him were slaughtered. There are two witches in addition to Sunaga in the mansion. There were two witches in addition to Sunaga in the mansion, but Brian had no interest in women. His only desire was to perform the dance macabre once more with that man, blades in hand. Just as he was pondering what to do next, he looked up at the night sky through the canopy. There he saw a glowing amber comet flitting by. The dazzling glow took a nosedive towards the mansion before him, plummeting like a hawk. Good grief, she managed to make it in time. Now let's hope the witches at least entertain each other. Brian McHale let out a languid laugh and stepped out from the grove. His nihilistic eyes only saw his honeymoon partner, Sunaga Shogo. Sandy cut through the wind, not even noticing Brian beneath her. Driven by her obsession with hunting down her comrade, Sandy's only focus was the witches. In that sense, she and Brian formed functional niches. The ferocious tattooed woman swooped down towards the mansion. Wilma and Carol were waiting to meet her. Yet even working together, they weren't sure if they could prove a match for her. They both leapt out before Sandy prepared to die. Finally, the violent mid-air battle between witches began. Brian lost all interest in their fight and turned his eye towards the western mansion before him. It's my turn. I'm here to repay the debt from the other day. His boots rustled the grass underneath as he calmly marched towards the mansion entrance. The front door was wide open. The rich smell of blood and gun smoke wafted through the air. He could see a Chinese man crumpled on the floor and a Russian corpse motionless in a chair at the first floor hall. Sunaga wasn't there. Brian slowly drew his handguns while standing before the scene. Then he aimed for the thick door's hinges and fired. After his guns destroyed the hinges on the oak door, it creaked under its own weight and fell forward. Brian held it up by the brass doorknob, using the over 10-kilo oaken board as a shield while he advanced down the hall. The explosion of a Franchi greeted him. The scattershot dug into the oaken board, smashed it, and shattered it into splinters. The door groaned as it broke and rained down on the carpet as endurance spent. Simultaneously, Brian fired past his shield. The CZ-75 in his hand spewed flames as its muzzle flashed and roared. The heavy rain of 9mm parabellums acted like a grinder, shaving away the staircase pillar Sunaga took cover behind. Sunaga abandoned the Franchi SPAS after firing off all the bullets in the tube. He drew his Sig Sauer from his left underarm holster and returned fire as he rushed Brian. Their guns exchanged blows at close range, not even 10 meters apart. The muzzle flash lit up the room like an afternoon, painted their shadows against the walls. The gunfight morphed into a nearly head-on, face-to-face brawl. Sunaga held the advantage on precision of his shots. Blood splattered from an impact on Brian's chest and shoulder, but he never flinched. He never stopped advancing, and even gave an unsettling smile. Yes, come at me! More, more, more! Brian drew his other CZ, doubling his firepower and unleashing fiercer blows at Sunaga. Sunaga used his stealthy movements to transition from the pillar to a couch, trying to circle behind his enemy. What's going on? The blood spilling from his mouth was proof that his lungs were punctured and filling with blood, but his movements hadn't dulled at all. It was an impossible display of immortality. Thinking back to the other day, that man survived a direct hit from his car bomb. Even now, Brian showed no signs of fatigue from his wounds despite losing blood from his gunshots. There was a chance he was using angel dust, PCP, or some other psychotropic drug to paralyze his sense of pain. But if that's the case, then I'll just kill him until he stays dead. He instinctively lowered his head below the advancing fire. Sunaga took a deep breath before thrusting his muzzle out from behind cover. Brian was only focused on the pillar right in front of him. He hadn't noticed Sunaga had moved to his flank. The Sig Sauer fired off without pause. A rain of bullets pummeled Brian's lower body, especially his knees. No matter how much endurance he had, he couldn't physically avoid collapsing if the knees supporting his weight were shot out. But the scene he witnessed was surreal. Despite his bones and tendons being half destroyed by the damage, his tall frame remained upright and motionless like a ghost. Vast streams of blood poured out from beneath the rips in his leather pants, and Sunaga also saw an abnormal organ slit with eerily slimy skin. What? They were almost like thick plant vines or a marine creature's tentacles. The section of flesh evoking that image wriggled its mask, closing up his wounds. It was clearly inhuman biological tissue. The ghastly flesh bubbled out, repairing the damaged flesh of its host. Senga speechlessly watched as a 9mm parabellum bullet forced out of the wound, along with a trail of blood. Brian turned to Senga with a wry smile, like a magician whose trick had been revealed. My body's special, just like Shimon's. It's pretty hard to die, and there's nothing I can do about it. His pair of CZs spewed gunfire repeatedly. The ferocious, merciless downpour of bullets devastated the couch covering Senga until it roasted under the hail of lead. The cloth was shredded, scattering feathers, the sturdy heartwood supporting its weight was bored away, as if it was rotting from a termite infestation. The gun smoke billowing out filled their vision with a white haze. Golden bullet shells clattered endlessly until the final one fell quietly on the carpet. Brian fired his CZs until they ran empty, slide shooting back. The gun smoke slowly cleared. Brian surveyed behind the thoroughly destroyed couch. He escaped. Senga was nowhere to be found, but his wounds were apparent. A large pool of blood stained the carpet. Speckles of blood trailed out past the entrance. Judging from the amount of blood lost, the damage was severe. Brian silently praised Senga for his tenacity before swapping out his clips and following the trail of blood. It looked like Senga escaped around the back of the mansion and into the woods. The canopy blocked off the moonlight, hiding the blood trail from the sight as his feet sank into the earth. After making it about 20 meters in, he saw a fresh bloody handprint on the tree and to the right, ahead to the right. The blood dragged from the fingertips diagonally down towards the bush. The man who left his handprint while supporting himself against that tree lost his strength and collapsed into the brush, or at least that was the chain of events the print implied. I see. Brian nodded as his feet carried him there. However, his heightened senses caught that faint sound of branches creaking above his head. What a dull trap! The moment Brian turned his muzzles upward, Senga leapt down like a black panther hidden in the trees. The CZ's successive fire rang out. Senga bypassed the curtain of bullets with his descent, swinging his Gurkha knife down in a splitting blow. Brian caught it with his bayonets. A spine-chilling scream of metal on metal rang out. Sparks broke the curtain of night, and the smell of burnt metal rising from the friction and stinging their noses. This was their second time exchanging glances at such a close range. Brian bared his teeth in a smile as if rekindling an old friendship. Hey, Senga, don't think it's ironic for us both? What? The bayonets and kukri blades scraped together, generating a chilling, jarring noise. Meanwhile, Brian waved his words in a high. Right. You, a former policeman. Me, a former terrorist and criminal. Two enemies that could never share the sun, but we both fell here to the same slum. We were supposed to be on opposite sides, but what an awfully odd path we lead. You've cast away what's most precious to you as well, haven't you? Or was it robbed from you? Senga was rattled with shock as his heart skipped. However, his gaze remained focused on the cold, sharp blade of the kukri. Conviction, pride, hope, friendship. I had them once myself, long ago when I swore to never let go of what sustained my life. Yet it's always the case that such things are lost in an instant. You're not worth listening to! Something akin to rage began rising within him. A fury boiling in his entire body drew strength back into his waning muscles. In the tightrope battle for life and death as their blades clashed, Sunuga's great strength managed to give him an advantage. Right now, my past and conversation are unnecessary. I won't lament what's been lost. I'm not like you. For a moment, Brian's eyes glowed with a light somewhere between contempt and envy. I see. Then what future are you trying to seize in exchange for the past you've cast away? V future? That's the most useless of all. I never had one of those to begin with. This time, Sunigo was the one that replied with a violent scoff, but Brian stared back at him, perfectly composed. That's so? But you've been distracted by what's going on in the mansion. What's there for you? His whisper caught Sunigo by surprise, causing his mind to blank. In truth, he had never once been aware of it himself. Yet behind him, carried on the wind, he could hear the echo of destruction shaking the sky. A propensity of the fierce battles between witches. Subconsciously, Sunigo had in fact been diverting a faint portion of attention that way. For some reason, a lonely profile with pomegranate eyes crossed his mind. And for a brief moment, his conscious mind turned to the meaning of that afterimage. A moment in which the dynamic balance of his mind and body faltered slightly. Brian wasn't one to overlook that, though. Cleverly using their blade lock to force him backwards, he brandished his free carbon steel bayonets. Their sharp edges went after Sunigo's wrists. A torrent of blood poured onto the grass. Several human fingers and bones trailed after it. Three fingers were severed in an instant from Sunigo's right hand, the one holding his Gurkha knife. Without the fingers to maintain his grip, the knife fell to his feet. Sunigo instantly crouched down and retrieved the knife with his left hand. Brian turned the muzzles of his CZs at the defenseless exposed back before him. However, Sunigo's crouch was a feint. He pretended to pick up the knife, using his motion to roll forwards. For a moment, Brian froze at the unexpected action. As he tumbled, Sunigo slammed his heel diagonally down from just outside of sight. A full torso spin kick combined with his forward roll, the momentary surprise attack slammed into Brian's shoulder. With that single blow, he shattered his left collarbone and crushed his lungs. Even as the momentum forced him down, Brian used his remaining right arm to thrust out a CZ. But Sunigo swiftly climbed on top of him and pinned him down, seizing the wrist of the gun hand with his left. He bent Brian's elbows back, like a bird spreading its wings, wrapping his damaged right hand under the arm and clenching. Next, he wrenched Brian's arm towards his back. He clamped down with all his might, going beyond a body's normal range of movement. It was an arm lock known as the Kimura in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, especially from his time with Judo. As the ligaments tore in Brian's elbow, the right shoulder dislocated at the joint. Now both of his arms were taken out. Brian lashed out from below, kicking and trying to escape, but Sunigo kept him pinned. He moved the sacral bone of his buttocks onto his opponent's abdomen, guiding Brian's wild struggles as he took control. Suddenly, he slammed his elbow full force into Brian's face, intending to kill. With his full weight behind it, Sunigo managed to cave in his skull and splatter gray matter, but a violent blow hammered his plexus. Sunigo's huge 90-some kilogram body went somersaulting several meters back and slammed into a tree. Several of his ribs broke simultaneously. That's right, you had that thing. The unexpected blow didn't come from any of Brian's limbs. It had come from the gray tentacle wriggling like a huge snake's tail in his abdomen. He had taken a point-blank hit. Sunigo rose back up, but just breathing sent searing pain through his chest. His broken ribs had punctured his lungs. His mouth was filling with the iron taste of blood. Apparently, innumerable tentacles could grow both big and small from Brian. The thinner tentacles wriggling like sea anemones. They began working to repair his snapped arm ligaments to rejoin his bones. Monster. He used karate breathing methods to steady his respiration, assuaging the piercing pain tormenting his body. Still, there was nothing he could do for the blood loss, and he couldn't prevent his vision from narrowing and darkening. Sunigo's body was already riddled with wounds. He had taken two shots in his side from the bullets fired in the mansion, on top of the recent finger loss and heavy blow. He was bleeding out, and every second drew him closer to death. Even so, his own body continued to pump adrenaline like a machine. The hatred and rage driving his spirit refused to allow him rest. He absolutely had no intention of being taken down here. He retrieved the Gurkha knife with his left hand as he stood. Most of his grip strength was already lost. Sunigo took out a bandana and used his mouth to tie it around his hand. He forced his knife into his trembling, waning, bleeding fingers, binding the grip into place. I figured you'd get back up. Brian calmly readied both handguns with a practiced hand, glancing at Sunigo. To be honest, I don't care what those eyes of yours are seeing, but let me ask you one thing. You struggle not for anyone else but your own sake, right? Sunaga glared at Brian like a wounded predator before giving a solemn nod. Brian smiled with satisfaction. Yes, that's the only thing left to you and me. It isn't for pride or someone else's sake. We don't believe in such motives in the slightest. It isn't like we turned our backs on beauty from the start. We tried hard in our own way. It was the same for you, right? But this is the result. In that case, what do we do? That's all this is about, really. He raised both muzzles, pointing them at Sunaga standing before him. His speech remained quiet, yet tinged with a crazy passion. We've both failed, but the end still won't come. How the hell could such endless, uncouth struggles be for the sake of anyone but oneself? Christ, you talk a lot. Yeah, I agree. Whether it was the fever from his wounds addling his mind or something he felt from the Reaper-like Caucasian, Sunaga's mouth curled into a rare smile. If you call me a reflection of yourself, then questions are even less necessary. Anyone like me is a loathsome being. It's best to crush them without a shred of mercy. Am I wrong? Sunaga spat, teeth grinding as his face contorted into a violent smile. In contrast, Brian's eyes went wide as he laughed like a chicken. His laughter resembled a fit of spasms, but eventually it slowed and halted. It would seem you've gotten one up on me. I'm dying to erase a man like you from existence. I want to force you to taste despair, rape your corpse after I murder you, spit and cum all over you, crushing every part of you underfoot. Well, damn, he means business. That's really all it comes down to. But one or another extraneous thing keeps... to think I still possess such human charm. But I'll abandon that here and now. By shattering this reflection of myself with my own hands. Brian's pale face returned to its usual empty expression, reminiscent of a dried swamp. Both opponents stood against each other, the air between them as clear and fragile as glass. Sunaga was leaning as far forward as possible like a four-legged beast ready to pounce. He guarded his face with his kukri and held his right arm before his throat, protecting his vitals. It was a desperate posture taken instinctually by the drive to rip his enemy's throat out no matter how many shots he took. Sunaga bared his fangs like a wounded beast. In contrast, Brian was like a hunter, coldly lining up his aim, holding his muzzle motionless. Beyond the dark gray sheen of the ready CZ's reticles, the final flame of murder lit up in Brian's faded eyes. A wild beast cry and a hunter's gunshot rang out in the moonlit woods. At the end of that last exchange, the men's duel was finally settled. Meanwhile, the fierce battle between witches was drawing to a close as well. Sandy stood with the starry sky to her back. Good night! Her brawny figure was looking down where the fragments of two hewn and destroyed witches lay scattered. Child's play! Sandy scoffed, stepping on one of the motionless lumps of flesh. Wilma's hide was stripped from her face to her chest, both limbs severed. The heft of her glaive, her brutal edge, was buried deep into the ground, skewered right through her heart. Pinned down like an insect specimen, all Wilma could do was convulse in agony. The other one! Carol laid splayed out in an even more tragic state. Her intestines were ripped out, extending about 5 meters from her body. Fragments of her severed fingers and ears, as well as her gouged out eyeballs, lay haphazardly around the area. It served as proof that she had risen up to offer fierce resistance despite being battered. Yet her weapon, her two-handed sword, was broken and reduced to a sea of blood. The loss of her brutal edge and her entrails was a clear sign of her decisive defeat. Only one fate awaited her. Recognizing her fate, Carol's mind was crushed with the darkness of despair. As her consciousness faded, her blood-stained lips muttered his name, as if that was the only word of prayer left her in this world. Interlude, where water comes together with other water. Okay. So, we're heading towards the path. Let me look real quick at the save and load menu. 71%. So we have so much more to read on that other path. Holy crap, we haven't even begun. Remember that? This should be the part where they have sex. No? Yeah. This scene was kind of romantic. I guess it's about as close to romance as you're gonna get here. Yep, that's supposed to be a romance scene. A romantic blowjob. Well, why not? Boy, if those whores at the truck stop were as romantic as it... Okay, the Sig Sauer P226, which we constantly keep hearing about, and Suniga's hands gave off its usual dull shine once he had finished touching up his guns. It was a silent, familiar partner both 7 years ago and now. However, this gun was no longer his sole partner. He suddenly cast his gaze out the window, recognizing the sight of Carol's figure standing on the balcony beneath the moonlight. From far away, her porcelain skin looked cold and doll-like, and made him doubt that blood flowed through her, despite having seen her shed it countless times in battle. What transforms this world is knowledge. Do you see what I mean? He suddenly heard a familiar voice echoing in his eardrums, the voice of a reliable comrade he turned his back on long ago. The man was an avid reader who loved pure literature, despite his tough, crab-like appearance in a fifth dan in judo. He was always quoting literature. Knowledge alone is capable of transforming the world, while at the same time leaving it exactly as it is. When you look at the world with knowledge, you realize that things are unchangeable, and at the same time are constantly being transformed. He asked that man what good that does us, and he answered thus. The main character asks the exact same question that you do. The character who spoke that line answers him too. Let's put it this way, think of the difference between man and animal, and why man can think, or perhaps it's better to think on the significance of why we constantly question our purpose in life. Human beings possess the weapon of knowledge in order to make life bearable. For animals, such things aren't necessary. Animals don't need knowledge or anything of the sort to make life bearable. Apparently, it was a quote from one of Mishima Yukio's novels. The man who read it was no longer here. He died in that hell 7 years ago. Suniga himself had read through the book, curious what happened after that passage. In contrast to those lines, knowledge did not change the world. The work rebutted that idea and suggested that actions changed the world. True. Suniga agreed with that as he touched the metal soaked in its warmth. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter how much you know, if you don't put it into practice, it does nothing. He wasn't noble like man, nor was he as simple as animals. Right now, he was just flailing and crawling in pursuit of a single deeply rooted conviction like some maggot. What would be left if the means of actions were taken from him? The knowledge of a maggot crawling on the ground was worth less than rat shit. A strangely calm aspect of Tsunaga realized why he suddenly recalled that. The cause was lifting her face and staring at him, her pomegranate eyes devoid of expression. Her thin frame floated up through the air and landed lightly on the veranda of the upper hall with a certain weightlessness. Not a single thing had changed since he met this witch. All that was changed was, yes, his knowledge of her. Carol. That was the name of the slender witch standing across from his window. The mystery behind Carol and the other disaster's witches was likely connected to the goals his enemy plotted to achieve 7 years ago. If he unraveled their mystery, he might draw closer to the truth. Still, the fragmented information he'd obtained only deepened the mystery. What was the goal of the witch hunts, the reason for the witch's public execution, the reason for the pregnancy of the witches held captive in Slumville, the reason witches came back to life like some kind of urban legend? There were no answers to anything yet. Right now, witches were merely absurd phenomena to Tsunaga, no different from the residents of the city. No, that's wrong. That wasn't what he taught as he picked up. Excuse me, that wasn't what he thought as he picked up his gun. Because although he had treated the witch before him like the gun in his hand, no, like an even less important tool, he found himself wanting to ask her personal questions for the first time. He opened the window and invited her in. Carol stood ready like a dog waiting for its next command when he quietly asked her a question. Why are you so devoted to me? I haven't done anything for you. Carol's eyes widened slightly in wonderment at Shogo's first question for her as an individual, and then she gently smiled. It was the first soft expression she showed with her meager emotions. Because you saved me. That's honorable of you. His response carried natural cynicism. He saved her 2 months ago. There wasn't any human in Pandemonium who would devote themselves this strongly over just that. But for some reason, he didn't feel doubt towards her words. He found his own becoming naivety laughable. Laughable as he realized he started placing that much trust in her. Still, it wasn't an unpleasant feeling. You're the one saving me, though. Without you, I'd probably be dead already. That was probably all the more reason he let himself speak such unusually emotional words. There's no need to mention that. A faint shade of scarlet brushed over Carol's pale cheeks at those words. Suddenly, Tsunaga hugged her close. Then his face carefully drew close to hers. Huh? Carol raised a short, confused gasp at Tsunaga's bewildering actions. He gently closed off her lips, kindly, softly. She blinked, unable to comprehend what just happened. Tsunaga's face was right before her eyes. So close she couldn't focus on it. It was none other than Tsunaga covering her lips. Carol was flustered, unable to grasp the situation. Regardless, Tsunaga hugged Carol's hips closer and brought their lips together again. Tsunaga was kissing her. Carol's awareness finally caught up and her eyes opened wide in surprise. What was going on? She realized she was being kissed, but her body froze up because she couldn't understand why it was happening. She was kissing Tsunaga. She'd surrendered her body to him before, but it was their first time kissing. Carol was slightly less emotional than other witches, but even she was quite surprised and upset at the current event. It was Carol's first kiss. She didn't know what to do. Just stay like this. Tsunaga muttered kindly, but Carol was still upset. She couldn't really understand what he meant. After all, it was her first. Plus, it was with Tsunaga, and he was the one who had kissed her. It was her first kiss with the man she cherished. Everything felt so new. Carol had trouble thinking with her muddled thoughts, but on the other hand, it felt very comforting. So this was a kiss? As the act continued, she began to think about its meaning, but when Tsunaga pressed harder into her lips, her thoughts dispersed. Her sense of self grew vague and hazy. Shogo. Carol parted her lips slightly to ask a question, but something else slipped in instead. Carol's lips parted further as something inched its way deeper. The hot, wet, slimy thing caressed her lips and rubbed her tongue. Sunagad slipped his tongue inside her mouth. Tongue? Was this a kiss too? This was the kind of kiss shared between lovers as foreplay to sex. Their lips pressed hard together, and she accepted his tongue as it explored deep, deep into her mouth and cheeks. Their saliva mingled and melted together. Carol lost the ability to think, her mind going blank. It was very, very pleasant. What surprised Carol wasn't just Sunaga's sudden kiss. A sweet, numbing shiver raced up her spine. Sunaga was fondling her body with his large hands as he kissed her. His hard, coarse palms were more gentle than ever as he caressed her skin. His rough fingers slipped between her skin and clothes, gently lifting them up and away, like he was handling his beloved, precious woman. Carol's body instantly heated up, and a sigh of delight escaped her lips. Sunaga was embracing her not as a tool, but as a fellow woman. As a woman he loved, no less. Not to restore her magic power. Carol's body shuddered as she quickly climaxed. It felt incredibly good. A sweet heat built up in her core, enveloping her whole body in a glow. Her loins ached so much that they hurt. Was he making love to her right now? That thought alone sent her arousal soaring, and she couldn't think of anything but him. Don't let go. Sunaga once again hugged her bouncing body close. He held her firmly like he was trying to protect her with his strong embrace. Their lips pressed deeply together once more. Her body shuddered every time Sunaga's hard palms slid over her pale, captivating skin. Her hands were warmer than expected. The heat permeated into Carol, melting with her and leaving her body flushed. They kept pressing their lips together, entwining their tongues and exchanging spit, but she felt a sweet pain and vertigo. It almost felt like her mind was melting. We're just kissing, but It was a joy she'd never tasted. It was a pleasure she'd never tasted. She had felt some pleasure from their acts of replenishing mana. However, she had never felt such joyous elation before, and they were only kissing. She couldn't believe it felt this good when imbued with love. Carol had to follow his lead, though her body was too weak to do otherwise. A sweet numbness raced from her toes to her head as their tongues entwined, and it felt like her body was paralyzed. Her mind was blank. She couldn't think of anything. All the strength drained from her body, and she found it hard to stand on her... shaky feet. The longest kiss scene I've ever seen, guys. She suddenly grabbed onto Sunaga's clothes as she nearly crumpled on the spot. Even in times like these, she hesitated to cling to his chest, instead settling for the fabric around his hips. But that wasn't enough to support her, and she started to fall onto her rear. Carol had no idea what to do in this situation. Perhaps she shouldn't have hugged him tightly. Maybe she should have clung to him like her excitement demanded. But maybe that wouldn't have been immodest. Maybe she would have been rejected. Ah, but she couldn't. It's all right. Sunaga held up her trembling body. He caught Carol against his thick chest, and then he gave her another deep kiss. Sunaga removed the rest of her clothes while supporting her. He slowly traced his hands over her beautiful porcelain skin, savoring the sensation. His thick, hard palms caressed her soft, smooth, unblemished skin. Carol experienced so much pleasure from her kiss that she couldn't focus. Electric jolts of ecstasy raced from her toes to her brain, and her body jerked unwittingly. She could feel Sunaga's heat everywhere as palms touched, and sweat began to rise as her body heated up. It feels so good. None of her erogenous zones were being stimulated, yet pleasure was still pouring from her core. Their chests were only pressed together, but she felt a numbing ache from the tips of her mounds. She was just pressed against his broad chest, yet she felt such pleasure that it was like she was being caressed. Her nipples were already erect, and every little brush was incredible. Then, Sunaga's tongue suddenly stretched towards her palate inside her mouth. Carol's body jerked to convulse as she let out a high, muffled cry. She was orgasming. There? Sunaga's tongue was behind her teeth, licking their base near her gums. Carol let out a moan of pleasure as she climaxed again. She never imagined she could be blown away just from caresses in her mouth. The moment that thought crossed her mind, pleasure surged and she climaxed again. Her heart was racing without end. Everything Sunaga did to her felt too good. I can't. Carol looked up at Sunaga, eyes brimming with pleasure. He hugged her tight. Carol raised her voice in surprise as a strong hug brought their stomachs close together, causing her to notice something hard pressing into her. Even through the fabric, it felt hot enough to burn her skin. This is... Sunaga's dick was pressed against her. It was so hot, hard, and erect that it was pushing up his clothes. Carol wasn't the only one getting off from their kiss. Sunaga was, too. Carol was incredibly happy that Sunaga felt the same excitement. She was unbelievably excited. Her captivating cry was mixed with her sultry breath. Sunaga's lips covered hers as it was swallowing her breath too. Carol climaxed again as Sunaga's tongue ran over the back of her teeth. His tongue entwined with hers and she came again. After countless climaxes, Carol could no longer stand on her own legs. She rested her whole body against Sunaga's chest. He hugged her small frame tight against him. His hand then began tracing the line of her hips while he supported her waist. Carol freed her lips and screamed. Sunaga's fingers were touching her slit. That was enough to make her body arch and jerk. Right now, that's... Dirty, wet sounds came from her loins. Every time Sunaga's fingers traced her slit, Carol raised a high, throaty cry of pleasure. She was sensitive from all her repeated climaxes, so just touching her slit was overwhelming. Her opening was already so soaking wet that it made naughty squelching sounds when he moved his fingers. The juices pouring from her honeypot sopped down her charming, pale thighs. You guys, wait just a second. I've got to take a heartburn supplement. Yeah, happens when you get older. Just got my fucking chest burning right now. Alright. Back at it.
The juices pouring from her honey pot sopped down her charming pale thighs. If you kiss me there...
Sunaga's lips touched her nape, not her lips. It seemed like he released her lips just so he could hear Carol's horny moans. His lips left a trail kisses down Carol's pale nape, the path winding all the way to her shoulder. If you kiss me while you're rubbing my pussy... Her body wouldn't stop convulsing. Her lower lips frothed with their juices as he rubbed her, body shuddering from the pleasure. Her whole body was in erogenous zone after many climaxes. And on top of that, her precious partner was showering her nape with kind, strong kisses. She couldn't get enough of it. She could feel the heat of his lips on her skin, and her body grew warm. She was melting. She tightened her clinging grip on Sunaga as she screamed. Carol couldn't tell if it was becoming unbearable, or if the pleasure was going to ruin her. If you rub my pussy so hard... Sunaga's fingers rubbed the wet folds beneath her thin bush.
It brought such intense pleasure that Carol raised a scream in excitement. She couldn't get enough of the lewd, wet noises as her loins were stirred up. Seneca continued to kiss her sensitive skin, even as waves of light orgasms crashed over her repeatedly. She could feel his warmth. She could feel his breath. A clingy heat was mixed with his breath against her neck. His breathing was hard, too. She could see his body covered in sweat. His crotch was growing harder as it pressed against her stomach, and Carol thought her pale skin would turn red from its heat. Your cock's amazing. Seneca was getting off as well. He was getting turned on while he caressed her. That conviction brought Carol's heart more elation, causing her to nearly lose herself. It feels so good. No, it feels so good. No. Her excitement peaked, and she lost track of what her mouth was saying. The countless orgasms had built up too much pleasure, and something felt ready to burst within her. I'm gonna come! I'm coming! Numbing jolts of pleasure raced through her whole body like intense lightning. The biggest wave of pleasure yet was cresting toward her. Carol! He whispered her name in her ear. Seneca's deep voice fucked Carol's mind, bringing her unbelievable ecstasy. She was maddeningly tense, and an impatient torrent of pleasure was rising up within her. No more! No more! Just as Carol let out her tense voice, Seneca's thick finger slid into her vagina. Carol shuddered hard. Dirty, sticky noises rose from her pussy as he stirred it up. Her high ends clung to Seneca even tighter. Her back twisted into a large, twisting arch. I'm coming! Carol wasn't usually very expressive, but she dirtily proclaimed her climax as she reached the heights of pleasure. Her neck bent back as she came harder than ever before in any of their previous times together. He still hadn't put it in either. She was feeling this good just from his fingers. Tears welled in her eyes as her lips parted for drool to spill out while the orgasm took her. I'm still coming! An erotic expression was exposed on her face despite being before her precious man. No, that was all the more reason she didn't want to hide it. She wanted him to know she came from his fingers and that she made such a dirty expression because of him. Carol clung hard to Seneca as her body shuddered multiple times before she was finally free from the throes of pleasure. I can't believe I'm coming! Carol's trembling continued as her breathing grew ragged. She couldn't muster strength in her body, and without Seneca's support, she'd fall. Her body rested against his chest like a spoiled child. Phew! Seneca heaved a big sigh after he saw Carol climaxing. He was trying to calm himself down after getting too aroused. Then after supporting Carol, he pulled himself away. Carol was still soaking in her afterglow of pleasure, so she couldn't understand why he would release her. However, after they separated, her eyes were captured by his bulging crotch. Even though it was erect and pressing his pants to their limit, it still hadn't released its load. She could still tell through his clothes that it was throbbing painfully. Seneca was so turned on by her that his dick got that hard. With that visual proof in front of her, Carol couldn't take it. She wanted his cum. She wanted him to orgasm, too. She wanted to relieve him quickly. Your cock's amazing. Right now, Her body burned with sexual arousal, and a fog hung over her thoughts. So she thought nothing of it as she knelt before Seneca like always. She got on her knees, just like she had when they fucked to replenish her mana, and now he would pull his erect cock out, and she would fellate it. You don't need to do that. Seneca took another breath, softly stopping Carol. Then she noticed his lips look a little more relaxed. Huh? Shogo? Was Seneca smiling right now? Or was that just Carol's mistake due to the fog clouding her mind? Besides, what did his words mean? Huh? Why not? Are you sure? Why? She felt like he was smiling, but he was rejecting her service, which left Carol a mixed mess of happy and sad. Her mind was working well, only drawing out her impatience. Then, Seneca grabbed hold of his own shirt collar and roughly pulled it off. Carol... He hugged the confused Carol tightly, but his hug wasn't gentle like when they kissed. It was a wild embrace, showing glimpses of Seneca's desire and arousal. He wanted Carol badly. Carol was surprised by the strong hug, but he quickly surrendered herself to Tsunaga. Their bare skin pressed together felt comforting. Being held tightly and perfectly in his big arms was comforting too, and made her the happiest of all to be the object of his desire. Carol. Tsunaga Carol called her name once more. Carol looked up at him in response as hot breath escaped her lips. Their lips joined once again. Numbing pleasure ran through her body again, and her skin shuddered. Reaching another light orgasm, she let out a captivating sigh. Tsunaga couldn't hold back his arousal anymore at the sight of her erotic figure. He pulled Carol up and set her straight on the bed. I'm putting it in. Put it in. They both whispered to each other, kissing once more. Tsunaga sat down on the bed and pulled Carol's thighs onto his own while kissing her. Oh wow, this is gonna be really long. Holy shit. I didn't know this was gonna be a long scene. Damn, you know it's 3:30 in the morning right now? Well, we did get degeneracy. I mean, you saw the whole monkey house thing. So, we got degeneracy, we got to see a lot of the scenes really fast. And now we're on this very super undegenerate romantic as fuck scene. So yeah, I want degeneracy, and the world's like, nope, we're not gonna do it. So we get this, which is unexpected, but I'm sure a lot of you guys wanted to see this. So we're actually, I'm thinking about ending it here because it's late, and we'll go ahead and probably go ahead and cut this video and get it ready and just have the next part and see where we go from there. Because we're still going for the true ending, and this is just one of the several scenes, and what will open up to a whole nother chapter. So alright guys, this is the Grimlord, and I guess I'm out for Grim's Hentai Corner with Maggot Bates.